Now let's get down to business with none other than the first Sunday politics debate roundtable, and you can pour all of those words in there, and I can simply say that they're all here this morning in fine style and fashion. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Okay. The political roundtable is in session. Jim Pomeroy, Republican. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Any thoughts about the leaks?
Well, I'll jump right into it. It seems to me we have to determine whether this person was a CIA undercover operative or an analyst. The CIA says she was an analyst. There are thousands of people that work for the CIA who walk through the front door every morning, and they're not undercover. So the question is, did they break her cover, or did she have a cover to be broken?
Nicholas Sawalk, Libertarian.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Is the Democratic Party actually going to be able to match up to what Mr. Bush has to offer in 2004?
I don't know. Are they also good at prosecuting wars all over the world and leaking out names from the White House? Can they do that too?
Eric Mickelson, Green Party. Mr. Mickelson, I see where there's some interesting things happening in Washington, D.C. People are very concerned about Mayor Anthony Williams running again in the next election, which is 2004. Do you think he'll make it?
I don't know. It always seems like there's a bit of discontent with Williams, but he managed to make the write-in campaign last year, and I think he's got enough support that, you know, if he wants to run again, he probably won't have a problem.
And Patrice McKinney, Democrat, thank you very much for being back the second month.
Thank you, Jerry. Nice to be here.
As we look towards the future, I asked Congressman member Jim Moran if we're spending too much in Iraq. What are his thoughts on it? What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I think that we need to provide for the reconstruction in Iraq because without the infrastructure, there's no way that we can have peace and stability in the country. And without stability, we open that up for all kinds of terrorist activities, and we really jeopardize world peace. We need to spend the money. How the money? Should the money be refunded? Should we get paid back out of oil reserves? That's another question altogether.
And our special guest this week, because Emily Loeffler, our independent, is off being independent. Anyway, filling in for her, we have invited to sit in her seat, Karen Fell, guest journalist, Capital Connections. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning,
thanks.
Jerry. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you very much for being with us. The status of the country right now, the economy is dipping an awful lot.
Good.
And up and down, jobs don't look good, as we hear in the news this week. What do you think would turn it around in time for the presidential election?
Well, the Democrats are going to be responsible for getting the word out. If they can get a candidate. I mean, I think what's going to slow it down is if we get a special prosecutor, special counsel on this leak situation, that will give the Democrats a real advantage. And then they can hopefully get somebody in the White House and turn the economy around.
Our telephone number 301-230-0980, pound 980 of Verizon Wireless System. Let's get to the topics right now, and let's talk about that White House issue. The White House leak of a CIA agent. How much will this be an infringement on re-election of President Bush? I'll start with you, Jim.
I think, really, I mean, the key question is, was she a covert operative or not? The CIA says she wasn't. If she wasn't, there was no leak. If she's a public employee of the CIA, then there was no leak. I mean, you can't leak something that everybody already knows. If she was undercover, which the CIA says she was not or is not, certainly the person who did it should be prosecuted.
But this story is still going to take on, and it's already started, a life of its own. And then it becomes political, and it drags on for the next year until the election.
Oh, the media can make anything.
So it doesn't matter the facts. The facts are irrelevant once that happens.
The media can gang up on anyone and make up anything they want and pile on as much as they want. But hopefully we'll find out the facts in this case.
The fact that 69% of the American public believes that an independent counsel should be appointed to investigate this, I think, is indication that there is eroding confidence in the veracity of the administration and the ability of the Justice Department to adequately investigate this. And I think that will definitely have an effect on the Bush's reelection.
Well, obviously the American public doesn't make that decision, which is good, since almost 50% of them still believe that Iraq had something to do with 9/11. The the issue, it seems, is that it's really dangerous in today's political climate to tell the truth about this whole weapons of mass destruction thing. At least here, as opposed to in Britain, you don't end up dead. You just end up with your wife, you know, little leak here or there, a little CIA operative uncovered. But really, you know, it's politics as usual. You cross the administration and they'll cross you. And not surprised.
I agree with Nicholas. I think that, that Jim and some of the other Republicans are trying to pull a little bit of misdirection here, saying, oh, it's not clear she was undercover. I mean, of course, many CIA agents actually work for non-governmental organizations or hold what look to be administrative jobs as part of their cover. They're that deep undercover. And so, but this kind of thing, a White House leak to get retribution on a man who tells the truth about weapons of mass destruction is just disgusting, in my opinion. And, I don't know. It seems to be, if this is the handiwork of Karl Rove, I think that's pretty disturbing.
But, Karen, you kind of brought the one question I have to light, and that is, how much will this fly in Peoria? You know, it flies within the Beltway, but outside of the Beltway, is this going to be, it's an inside story. How much does it fly with voters?
It's only an inside story until they appoint a special counsel and the taxpayers have to pay for that. And it drags on for a year, and they look at the numbers of paying for that on top of the numbers of rebuilding Iraq after President Bush, when he ran on one of his key campaign promises, was he was not going to get into nation building.
Mr. Bush said his soundbite last week, I want to get to the bottom of this, sincerely get to the bottom of it, quote unquote. The question I have here, if this is happening in your administration, shouldn't you have some idea of the person that could have come off with the leak?
What that means is he wants to get to the bottom of figuring out who's going to get thrown under the bus.
Oh.
And who's going to have to be thrown to... Yeah, he just has to figure out who has to be.
There's always a fall guy. I mean, this is politics and this is an election year, and none of this is new. The general public doesn't get into all the behind-the-scenes wheeling-dealing that we do here in Washington, but they are kind of intrigued. This is why the Spy Museum is doing so well.
Right.
With the CIA, with spies, with leaks, with espionage. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that part of it has a lot of that Hollywood glamour that will get out there in Peoria.
Well, they produced K Street. Will we see leaks as a new television show coming out?
Well, the fact that this story has really unfolded rather slowly. The first story ran July 14th,
right.
Robert Novak's article in the Washington Post. Here we are into October, and it's just now coming out in the mass media. So I think this is a slow developing story, and will continue to develop at this pace.
Jerry, I would just like to touch on what Patrice just said. Actually, it was one of the issues I wanted to talk about last month, and in fact, I fault the press for not picking up on this earlier. You know, I guess Britney and Madonna kissing is an important issue for...
Very important issue,
you know,
to have
world news.
To have world news and peace in the Middle East.
But, maybe in the future they can sort of fulfill the responsibility a little bit more.
But, Jerry, you know what's interesting is that, and she makes a good point, this did happen quite a while ago. It was in the paper, and everyone read it, and nobody seemed to think it was a big deal. It was only upon a lot of reflection that some folks thought they could make some partisan gain out of it.
That isn't
a new phenomenon.
But this isn't even a story. This is a distraction. We're spending too much money at home. We're trying to spend too much money overseas. We're dropping a little ultimatum over to Iran because, you know, we need to attack someone new. All of these are issues. Whether or not there was a leak or wasn't a leak or who did the leak is not an issue. It's an attempt to avoid talking about issues. It is Britney and Madonna kissing.
Okay. Our telephone number 301-230-0980, #980 of the Verizon Wireless System. My lines are open and just waiting for you to call to take on any one of my panelists here on our first Sunday politics debate, the monthly debate. Jim Pomeroy, Republican. Nicholas Sawalk, Libertarian. Eric Mickelson, Green Party, Democrat. Patrice McKinney, and our special guest, journalist this week, or I should say this month, from Capital Connections, Karen Fell. 301-230-0980, #980 on Verizon. We happen to be on another topic. You want to talk about the last topic? That's perfectly okay with us, as long as you don't go to the next topic before we get there. Yeah, is that fair enough, guys? Okay. Let's go to the next topic. Really, I think we should talk about California because of the fact that while this is Washington, D.C., it's a long ways away, it does set some type of precedence around the country as to how people vote and how politicians come alive or are born, such as the Schwarzeneggers, et cetera. California, here I come. Or will Arnold be gone when I get there, is the question. After a week of news disclosures about character, sexual harassment, Hitler favorites, as well as moral challenges, what will happen in California?
Arnold. I think we're going to have Governor Arnold, and
what happened to the Christian right with Arnold, though, when these six ladies come out and talk about sexual harassment and a whole lot of other things?
Bill Clinton has certainly lowered the bar for sexual harassment.
I did not bring up Bill Clinton.
After 8 years of Bill Clinton, Arnold doesn't seem as offensive as he used to be.
Well, we could go to Britney and
the rules are different for entertainers than they are for politicians. The culture is different. We've always looked at it differently.
And Gray Davis is bad enough that a womanizing movie star is a better choice.
Yes, except that now voters in California are looking at this again and thinking maybe we shouldn't have this recall. After all, they did elect him. I think what it really shows is the dissatisfaction of voters in California that are only a microcosm for the rest of the country.
Eric, is this a media hype to make Arnold Schwarzenegger look like he's out in the lead, that he's really carrying this thing all through?
All along I've thought that if the recall went through, that Schwarzenegger would win. I just felt like he would have that kind of broad-based appeal. I think so. I think it's unfortunate. If you look at the people behind him, like Pete Wilson, I mean, I think that these are people who actually created a lot of the problem that you see in California, but I'm not sure people are looking at it that closely. And it seems to me like the recall will succeed and Schwarzenegger will get elected.
Telephone number 301-230-0980, pound 980 on Verizon. Dale at Andrews Air Force Base. Good morning.
Good morning.
Go right ahead, sir.
Yeah, I have a question. Since they leaked the name of this CIA agent, why don't the reporter leak the name of who really gave him information, saving money, time? And there won't be a fall guy. The right guy will be out.
Well, I think if reporters leak the name of their sources, they're not going to have sources for very long.
Right, and you just don't do that.
But it does mean that there won't be a fall guy. They'll find the actual person or they won't, because if they say, well, this person is going to take the fall for it, the reporter probably would be able to say this person didn't leak it to me.
Under any circumstances, in big bureaucracy, in big government like this, when something like this happens, there's always a fall guy. They're not going to put Rumsfeld.
No, they won't put a fake guy up, because the reporter will know it was fake.
Not necessarily.
Oh, yeah, they will.
Come on.
Why not?
How do you know?
The reporter's not going to say who his source is.
But reporters always depend on leakers, and they're always going to be leakers. People leak for different reasons, whether it's political advantage to give themselves power to trash somebody else, whatever it is. That there are always reasons that they leak, and that's a symbiotic relationship between leakers and the press.
And Robert Novak has been known to be an instrument for the administration in the past.
Okay. Dale, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks.
All right, have a good one. Pat and Alexandria, good morning, my dear friend.
Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Very good. Very good this morning.
Nicholas, I adore you. You are very, very good again
today.
Thank
you, Pat.
Pat has a thing for this libertarian. I don't understand.
Well, actually, no. I have to, but I will say one thing. Listening to the gentleman from the Republican Party, and I was one of the original teenage Republicans in New York State, I'm ashamed that I was there. Your convoluted logic on whether or not a person is a typist or a spy. So if they're a typist, throw their name out. And saying everyone knows? My God, sir, I'm really concerned about your morals and your ethics. I'm also concerned about your brain. You're not thinking straight.
Well, now hold on. I'm concerned how much you love our libertarian panelist, although we all do. We're all big fans of him. But
actually, sir, he's more of a Republican than you are.
Oh.
He's along the lines of Nelson Rockefeller, Jack Javits, and God rest him, Barry Goldwater.
Well, let me allay.
You ride in the back of a cowboy, and you'll sit there and be his posse and cover whoever.
Well, let me
allay. I think it's pathetic.
Okay, well, let me allay your concerns. What I'm saying is,
oh, I don't think
but
you can if, do that.
If she's not a covert operative, then you're not leaking anything. If I leak the information that Jerry works for Clear Channel, that's not a problem.
It isn't, because everyone knows Jerry works for Clear Channel.
Bingo.
People, hold on. I didn't know the woman worked for the CIA as a quote-unquote clerical person.
But if she is, who cares?
Well, you know what? It's the principle of the thing. And obviously, since you don't see principle...
No, I see principle. I see principle. People are... It's not leaking if you're saying something that everyone knows. If you say that Joe Blow works for the post office, it's not leaking.
It's not leaking.
It's telling.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Jerry, I give you a great good afternoon. I hope you enjoy it. This is one of the 2 days a year I root for the Redskins as they kill Philadelphia. Nicholas, as usual, you're great. And so,
Thank you, Pat.
I think what you need to do is sit down on a couch with a nice man who's going to listen to your worries, and maybe you'll figure it all out.
Thank you very much, Pat. Oh, boy. Sound effects. Boy, Pat all over the belly. That's... I tell you, she deserves it. Oh, yeah, that's okay. That's Pat in Alexandria from Metro Talk Honors Corner there, ringing the bell for her. Thank you very much. But you know, this is the thing though. When we get into this whole thing about leaks and all, and I think what you are saying, Jim, is that until it's proven that she is what they say she is, it's not a story.
And if she is, if she is a covert operative, which the CIA denies that she is, then
I agree.
Then I agree that whoever leaked it should be prosecuted. I'm not just
CIA doesn't. The CIA doesn't tell you who they're covert. In fact, she is a covert operative. We're confirming today.
Once the cover is blown, if there's a cover and the cover is blown, then, you know, what are you going to do?
Whether this satisfies the elements of a crime here, I think, is not the issue. The issue is it certainly has the appearance of impropriety. And this administration is in jeopardy because of that.
But why did it take a month for anyone to figure out this was a problem? It was in the newspaper, and everyone read it, and everyone didn't... I mean, nobody registered there was a problem.
Summer. They're lying on the beach.
Britney was kissing Madonna.
It's also analytical, and people rely on the press to put these things together.
But it's going to be a bigger press story now because the Wilsons hired an intellectual property attorney to represent him, which I also think is interesting.
Right. And the person who's really doing the most to promote this leak is her husband, and he's the one doing all of this. And it seems to me that he is a political operative. So yes, I'm sure the two of them will make a lot of money.
Let's go back and then we'll move on. And the fact is that remember a lot of people were chastised for disagreeing with Mr. Bush and his administration on Iraq, on the economy, and on a whole lot of things. So I wouldn't beat up on Mr. Wilson that much. Now back to California, guys. What does it look like for the outcome of the California election? Will it be Schwarzenegger?
Arnold will be governor.
And then he'll be recalled.
And it could be with just 16% of the vote.
And?
I think Arnold's going to win.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely. I think Arnold's pulling away.
All right. Moving along. Well, folks, if you have an input about that, if you disagree and you think Arnold Schwarzenegger or Gary Coleman should win. If you think Gary Coleman should win with Arnold Schwarzenegger, wouldn't that be Lieutenant Governor and Governor? Oh, that would be a trip, wouldn't it? Anyway, give us a call at 301-230-0980, #980 on the Verizon Wireless System. Our telephone number is 301-230-0980, #980 on Verizon. Absolutely free call on Verizon. And we have lines open on our first Sunday Politics. It's a time where we can just openly discuss things happening around us in the news and all. Jim Pomeroy, along with Nicholas Sawalk, Eric Nicholson, Patrice McKinney, and Karen Fell, our special guest this morning here on tap. 301-230-0980, #980 on Verizon. Now, I'm going to turn to my dear friend Patrice. The Democrat status, who's surfacing strongly enough to make a difference in the presidential election to take on George Bush in the boxing ring?
Well, I still think Howard Dean is the front runner in the Democratic Party. He is number one in Iowa, number one in New Hampshire. He's raised three times as much as any other Democratic candidate. He was the first one to come out against the war in Iraq. He now has General Clark, who has also come out against the war in Iraq as an American four-star general. And Howard Dean, I think, is the guy to beat George Bush.
Okay, Howard Dean, would you agree with that?
I would say Howard Dean and Wes Clark. I think that eventually Wes Clark's going to end up being the one who actually gets the nomination because he's more palatable to the Democratic establishment. I think it's interesting that basically Kerry and Lieberman and all the other 9 or 10 or whoever many candidates were running have all kind of just dropped by the roadside, and I'd be interested to see if they can end up coming back.
What did you say about Clark? I missed that.
I think Clark is the only really palatable candidate to, you know, the broad base of American public.
Clark can pull some of the Republican votes, the crossover votes. I also think being military and with the Clinton support behind the scenes, he can get the money, and they've got a lot of power within the party.
He doesn't have.
Let me ask this question. Does anyone around the table have any idea what Clark believes on anything?
No.
No, and I think that that's actually going to be his weakness ultimately. Although
could be a strong point.
That's a strong point. He may see it as a strength. Yeah, he doesn't stand for anything, therefore he can't alienate anyone. But
he's new at the whole thing. He's a military man.
He showed the same political cowardice, I think, as John Kerry in sort of waffling on whether or not the Iraq war was a good idea, you know, asked whether he thought he would have voted for it if he had been in the Senate or the House. He said, well, that's a hypothetical question, you know. I don't know.
Well, he wanted diplomacy before military force.
Well, but again, he sort of waffled. Now he's against it. Now seeing that what we all know and what many of us knew before, that a lot of it was fraudulent as far as the weapons.
Let's go to Brunswick, Maryland, and TJ. Good morning, TJ.
Hi, Jerry. How are you?
Pretty good, my friend.
I just wanted to make an observation here about the leak. I'm pretty sure that President Bush said that he was going to put integrity back in the White House.
Right.
Now, whether this is a crime or not a crime, wouldn't you think that whoever did it would just fess up and save us 6 years and tens of millions of dollars in misery?
That's what a caller, who was the caller said a while ago?
Yeah.
The gentleman from Air Force?
He wanted the reporter to give up the guy.
He said to save the money and all of that, because a lot of money goes to these hearings, and then they're going to have not only probes and hearings and things like that. I mean,
The president did put integrity back in the White House. It's in a closet. It's in a sub-basement.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Nicholas Sawalker, Libertarian.
No White House tours for him.
TJ, how much do you think this will hurt the president or the White House for the upcoming elections?
Well, if they would come right out with it, if whomever did this, I don't think it would hurt at all. I think it would go away. But once again, for some reason, we do not do this. Politicians, big corporations, whomever. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the best way of going.
Hey, it sounds great to me. I think he's right on target there. It's going to be drawn out, and it could become, like you said earlier, Karen, a good political platform for the Democrats to ride into.
And then there's always the cover-up. We saw it in Iran-Contra. We saw it in Watergate. We've seen it in all of them. And this is really what puts them all in trouble.
I agree with you, but I don't think there'll be a cover-up. I think they're right now probably telling everyone, if you did it, tell us and quit now.
But isn't it interesting that we have the words independent prosecutor now on the opposite side of the fence?
Yeah, I think one of the interesting things about this, Jerry, is that the White House and the administration in general has been so airtight up to this point that there really haven't been many leaks. There hasn't been a whole lot of information getting out. In fact, it's been, you know, criticized for its opacity in the past, and that this would come out, and then there would actually be a second leak. Somebody who called and confirmed, you know, to the Post, it just strikes me as a little out of character.
TJ, thank you very much, buddy.
Thank you, Jerry.
Have a good one.
You too.
Let's go to Fort Belvoir, Virginia, and Ellie's on the line. Good morning, Ellie.
Good morning. I just had a couple of comments. One, I sort of feel sorry for Jim, the Republican there. I think you shouldn't take it too seriously, Pat's negative comments, because I remember back when I first started listening to the show and Pat was the first-time caller, I think she called Nicholas a draft dodger that day. So things have...
You win the Metro Talk Honor Award. Okay. Do we have the Honor Award for Ellie here, please?
No, I just wanted to say that people's feelings can shift, and sad to say that we had always voted Republican. And being a military family, I think that, you know, there are a lot of conservative people in the military, and we really did vote in the hopes that we weren't going to be nation building anymore, mm-hmm. that we were going to defend this country, and that we wouldn't be used as peacekeepers or nation builders or our armed forces. And it's been really difficult to see what has happened so soon after Mr. Bush has taken the White House, and rather heartbreaking. And I have to say, at this time, I think I lean too toward the libertarians. No, I don't mean anything negative toward anyone else, but I think that the Democrats have shown us that they'll send our troops to war anywhere and everywhere, and I think the Republicans have now shown us the same thing, and I really do believe that we are here for the defense of this country, and that's really all I had to say.
Well, Ellie, thank you very much, above all, for your loyalty to Metro Talk.
I enjoy the show very much.
Thank you very much, and I trust you have a good day.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. She's going libertarian, it sounds like to me. And, you know, one of the things out of all of these issues that we are talking about, not only the war in Iraq, not only the policing around the world, and as many people from the international theater are saying, this arrogance that Americans have now, but the economy itself, it seems like the two-party system in America is not the most popular thing to be in the future. Would you agree with that? In other words, I know it's not on the agenda here, but it just came to my mind. It seems like I hear more people talking about, I'm independent, or I want to be libertarian, or I want to go to the Green Party.
Those are labels. I mean, I think that people have to look at issues. I mean, first of all, you can't just say Republican, Democrat anymore. You have, I mean, these parties cover from the most liberal to the most conservative.
Mm-hmm.
You can't put a label on it.
The society, our society has become so much more complex over the past 50 years that these labels and distinctions no longer are relevant. What we have are issues out there that need to be addressed one at a time, and that means...
Jerry, we're one of the few, democracies in the world that has a system which constricts the sort of political voice in this way. In fact, you know, most multi-party democracies, like in Europe and Israel and Australia and New Zealand, represent a much wider range of voices. And people, I think, probably aren't nearly as disenchanted with
But isn't that because of money? I mean, we're capitalistic, too. And that plays a big role in who plays in the major parties.
As my political science professors would say, it's the first-past-the-post system. Our country is set up for two parties because it's winner-take-all in congressional, winner-take-all in the Electoral College. It's set up because if you have a third party the major parties pick up on those issues and people revert back to two parties. And if you look at Europe, sometimes the parliamentary system works, sometimes it doesn't work as well. Italy has had dozens of leaders over the last 50 years. But our system has worked very, very well, and hopefully we can bring it to Iraq.
But still, if you have money. If you have money. Yeah.
Money's always good.
Well, there's two things. One, it's so nice to hear Karen and Patrice admit what people are starting to realize is that the labels don't mean anything anymore, especially Republican and Democrat. And what I think the reason that there's an insurgence of third parties is there are a few issues in this society that really matter to the voter, and there aren't that many. And the problem that we have is that the Republicans and the Democrats do not differ on the issues that matter. Mm. So if the issue to you that matters is you don't want America to be interventionist around the world, the Republicans are going to sell you out and the Democrats are going to sell you out. So you're pretty much screwed either way.
So vote libertarian. Telephone number 301. I didn't say that.
Thank you, Jerry.
And as the agent of this great broadcast facility, I'll say also vote Green Party, vote Republican, vote Democrat. No one will say, hey, you're taking sides. 301-230-0980, pound 980 on Verizon Wireless System. Real quick, I got to get back to the phones.
Okay, Jerry, I just want to say that In California, where they had five candidates in the most recent debate on C-SPAN, most of the commentators say this is one of the richest, interesting debates that we've had because there really are people
show
all
up. I guess
no, well. No. Arnold was there, and McClintock, Cameo.
One debate he showed.
Bustamante, yes, that's the one he showed up at. And again, people were really commenting on the.
Well, you know.
Do you know why? Do you know why? It's because the Republicans and the Democrats have a gentleman's agreement not to talk about anything controversial. That is the behind-the-scenes agreement. When they debate, they don't talk about anything they don't want to talk
David's
about.
David's on the cell phone in Maryland. Go ahead, David.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My question is about the Republican gubernatorial race. Mm-hmm. Has anyone ever... I'm wondering, is anyone aware of Arnold Schwarzenegger's educational background and what his qualifications are to be governor the fifth largest economy in the world? What is his educational background? Does anyone know, or has that been brought out, or am I just missing something?
Well, does anyone know what he even stands for? He's just a celebrity. It's name,
well,
idea, and appeal.
He's, I mean, we know more about Arnold's positions on the issues than we know about General Clark,
well, which
by
is,
far.
Which issues?
But
we're
more aware of General Clark's educational background, though.
I don't know where any of them went to college. I mean, I don't think most Americans
I could get it on the internet.
Well, General Clark went to West Point,
okay,
and he was number
go.
One in his class.
And Oxford, a Rhodes Scholar.
But where does he stand on, you know, abortion? Where does he stand on taxes? Where does he stand on the Second Amendment?
We're asking about
nobody
California.
Knows. Well, that's what I'm saying.
David,
Arnold, we know.
Much.
Arnold, we know.
Thank
we
you,
just
David.
Have to look at.
Tappan in D.C., good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
Fine, my friend.
I got a couple questions. My first question is, I just turned tuned into the program, so mm-hmm. maybe I missed it. Is with the leak, and I know I might be harping on an issue that you were talking about previously, with the leak, why is nobody bringing up Robert Novak's reasoning for putting her name in the article? What was the what purpose did it serve, and why has that question not been answered? It's not answered by him when he was on CNN a couple of days ago with Wolf Blitzer. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been answered by anybody. What was the, if there was any sort of reason to have it there, and she wasn't an operative, it wouldn't bother me that much. But yes, if she was undercover or not, why? What is his reasoning? What's so important about putting her name in the article?
Okay, thank you very much.
I think they were trying to say that this inspector got his job because of her, that he wasn't qualified on his own, but his wife got him the job. I think, but it really was sort of unclear.
It was an appeal to Republican misogyny. Is that what you're saying? That somehow
a man got his job
through his wife.
It was an appeal to the idea that the person that this other guy was not terribly competent. That was the idea.
But I also think anytime you can use a name in the news, it has a lot more credibility. Than not using a name. It's like a name source has more credibility than a blind source.
That's what Robert Novak said in his answer to the question. Exactly. He said that was the next question, so mm-hmm. I answered it in anticipation.
And here's also Robert Novak, who's a 70-something columnist, all of a sudden is a big star again when most of the reporters making news are in their 20s. So that's a good ego trip.
One thing with Novak is he breaks new news in every column.
Yeah, if you like Robert Novak, that new news he breaks is strictly for Robert Novak and his clan.
He's Mr. Scoop.
He's Mr. what?
Mr. Scoop.
Well, they were trying to use
it. Oh, come on. Robert Novak is about as much a scoop as I am on national television. I haven't done national television in a long time. Come on, Jim. What scoop? He sits up there a pontificate. Can I use that word? No. He sits up there sophisticated on his little throne. Like every other one of these TV talk shows, and they, you know what they represent and where they come. They're not like Metro Talk. We have representatives from every party here. This is America here on Clear Channel. Let's talk to Carl in Laurel. Is that Burke, Virginia? Good morning, Carl.
Good morning, Jerry. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome, buddy.
Listen, I'm a lifelong resident of Fairfax County. 40 years old. Turned 40 years old this year. And my question, and I guess it's for the entire round table, I'd like to give you a quote. It comes right from the Constitution.
Okay, real quick because of a time.
Real quick, Jerry. No state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts. And my question is, does anyone foresee a time when elected officials will obey the Constitution?
Well, Rush Limbaugh asked that question last week. No, I'm not going to go there.
Where is he now?
The Constitution says what the Supreme Court says it means in any
right.
given period of time.
Oh, yeah. That's horse crap.
Okay, somebody
it's,
else?
It's probably unlikely that elected officials anytime soon are going to turn into strict constructionists, and that's, you know, that's where we're at.
That's not a matter of strict construction.
Yeah, actually, following the Constitution is called strict constructionism as opposed to interpretive constitution.
Strict constructionism is about, does the president have the right to make a Louisiana purchase?
And strict constructionism is whether or not you go by what the Constitution says in black letter law versus interpretive.
Okay, do you support the right to alter or abolish the government?
Whoa.
To go within the amendment process in the Constitution to change the government?
No, to alter or abolish in whatever means we deem necessary.
Oh, come on, you're a libertarian. You agree with that.
I'm not sure where the caller's going, but...
Well, that's a libertarian for you. They're not sure. Carl, good question, though. I understand what you're saying.
Thanks for my call.
Because, hey, Carl, before you go, let me put my little sense. Oh, you hung up. Okay. A lot of times you hear politicians talk and or speak, and you wonder if they are following constitutional guidelines, pathways, or whatever.
They're not.
And they only use it when it's to their benefit or to the benefit of what they're trying to get over. Anyway, I might be getting in trouble with that. On the cell phone, Joe, help me out.
Well, actually, what you just said goes back to what I wanted to make a point about, and that's the two-party system works. It's a great idea, but the problem is that we've become the Jets and the Sharks up there on Capitol
right.
Hill, and everybody lines up behind their party leaders and votes that way instead of treating, as the lady on the panel said, I don't know her name, the issues of the day and voting them as their conscience, as they feel their constituents might be interested in having them vote.
Mm-hmm. Very good
party,
point.
Mm-hmm. The party system is great, but if you're just looking to it to have them tell you how to vote, then you're not representing us the way that we need you to.
You know, Jerry, I think this is interesting. I think there is a perception that, you know, Democrats are always fighting Republicans, Republicans are always fighting Democrats. Christopher Hitchens said a couple of years ago, you know, one of the things that perks my ears up most is when I hear bipartisan sponsorship. That's when you know you're in real trouble. You know, like, because
both parties are lined up.
Which side of the aisle you want to go.
Both parties are lining up to screw you together.
Right.
They're going to just take it's just going to further something that's going to help them out in the long run, is the point as far as bipartisanship goes. But
hey, Joe, hold on the line. Don't leave us, okay?
Okay.
Let's get Paul in there. Paul is over at Alexander. I'd like to get his input here. Hello, Paul.
Hi, guys. Good morning.
Fine. Go right ahead.
A real quick comment about how things change so quickly in politics. Wasn't it just a couple of years ago that our president was slamming the Democrats and Clinton for their handling of overseas affairs? And look at where we are now. And for your folks that didn't know much about General Clark, I visited his webpage. And I believe he was first in his class at West Point, so I'll hang up and listen to you guys.
Well, don't hang up yet. Do you know where he stands on any political issue? Is any of that on his website?
I think he's a social liberal, and I believe that he would be more conservative overseas than our current president. New candidacy, so...
He's not talking about any of his issues. Is he pro-life? Is he pro-choice?
Well, he's criticized Bush's tax cuts as hurting Social Security. That's a big thing.
What's he going to do?
He supports abortion rights.
He hasn't really been talking about that on the campaign.
Don't give him a chance. He's got another year.
Well, Schwarzenegger hasn't either. And by the way, thank you very, very much,
sure.
Joe and Paul. We have an update from our Metro Talk Information Center. Steve Solomon has the information about Arnold Schwarzenegger. Steve, would you please, from our research department, this is a big operation, our research department, give us a lowdown on college and Schwarzenegger.
Jerry, in the many biographies on the Internet of Arnold Schwarzenegger, none mention college. He was already... very busy acting and bodybuilding by the time he was 18.
Bodybuilding. So he graduated from the School of Hard Knocks.
He did. It was a tough life growing up in Austria. So
Think how physically fit all Californians will be when he gets there.
He was on the President's Council of Physical Fitness.
It was.
He really was.
That was a position he was suited for.
Excuse me, gang. 301-230-0980. #980 on the Verizon Wireless System. This is the first Sunday politics debate, as we have every first Sunday. And to show you how we keep this thing balanced, we have Karen Fell as our guest journalist. She's with Capital Connections. Karen, in about 10 seconds, tell us about Capital Connections. What is it all about?
News service covers Capitol Hill, the White House, Hollywood, Washington Connection.
You said Hollywood and it was Capitol Hill.
Hollywood, Washington.
Oh, Hollywood,
Connection.
Washington. Oh,
Hollywood on the Potomac here.
There you go.
As well as Capitol Hill.
Right. And also Patrice McKinney of the Democratic Party, Eric Mickelson, Green Party, and Libertarian Nicholas Sawalk, and Jim Pomeroy, my good buddy, the Republican, right here on Metro Talk. Let's go to Woodbridge, Virginia, and on the line, Randy. Good morning, Randy.
How you doing, Jerry?
Fine, my friend. How you doing?
Fine. Listen to your show every morning.
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Okay, I have a comment, and then I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
The comment is, I can imagine if with the CIA issue, if the woman had been over in Egypt, and whether she was undercover or not, if she was outed as a working for the CIA in any capacity, I can imagine what the ordinary people would think of her over there. That said, I find it disturbing that, I don't know, they can identify whether this is true or not, that we're actually paying countries to have their troops there in Iraq, and have we reached that point Well, I know the war is a mess, and shouldn't we, the money that they have deemed for rebuild Iraq, shouldn't that be a loan?
Okay, thank you very much for your input there, Randy.
You know, I think both questions that he asks are important. I think the issue with regards to the agent being undercover, yes, her life would have been threatened as well as all the people she was in contact with. The other issue with regards to the mercenary troops, I wonder how it feels to be a Polish soldier right now, knowing that your life is on the line because your country's getting aid in return for you being there.
When we build coalitions, we get our friends the old-fashioned way. We buy them.
Oh, no. That's absolutely unfair. We've been giving the world a lot of foreign aid for a long time. We fund the UN. We fund a lot of other countries. And
I didn't say it was new.
No, but we're not buying support. In fact, yeah, if we were buying support,
we bought Turkey support.
Then we are certainly getting shortchanged because the rest of the world is pretty darn ungrateful for the times that we've stepped in to save them from totalitarianism. We saved them in World War One. We saved them in World War Two. We saved them during the Cold War. And now they look at a mass murderer, Saddam Hussein, and they didn't want to get involved. A number of the countries didn't want to get involved.
I've just about had it
with a lot of these countries that stand back and they say, oh, well, we don't want to get involved. And all of this totalitarianism that they supported in the past.
I have 87 billion questions for Jim.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Jim Pomeli, United Nations. Anyway,
I'm not talking about the United Nations. I'm talking about these separate countries.
Who voted in the United Nations. They're the ones, France, Germany, you can name a bunch of third world countries that said, no, Mr. Bush, we don't want your stuff.
I would like to see the United Nations step in here and do some of the work that they've done in other countries.
Didn't Kofi have a big disagreement with Mr. Bush last week when Bush spoke at the United Nations?
I'm talking about France. I'm talking about Germany. I'm talking about these countries who are getting in the way of trying to rebuild Iraq.
Well, now that's because they don't agree. I mean, isn't this a democratic society where everybody can agree?
They can agree, and we can criticize them, and that's what I'm doing.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, Jerry, can I get back to the caller's question?
Yes, please.
Within the $51 billion that's proposed under the $87 billion budget, a significant part of that funding is reserved to pay foreign troops to help us. We will not pay salaries of foreign troops, but we have to pay for their transportation as well as their equipment.
Yeah.
So we are funding foreign troops and anticipate funding additional foreign troops.
Of the $20 billion, it's interesting that like $200 million of it goes to build this American-Iraqi enterprise fund. So not only are we rebuilding Iraq, we're spending $200 million of your dollars to go get corporate welfare good and started over there. And, you know, another few million for zip codes.
Let's go to Chuck on his cell phone. Good morning, Chuck and Bowie.
Hi.
Hi. How you doing?
Okay.
Go right ahead, Buffer.
I'm sorry?
Go right ahead.
Listening to your show is quite an education. The amazing thing is I find that I hear a number of people talking strong principles, and the only principle I ever hear from the Republican commentator is saying things anti-Clinton or anti-Democratic Party or pro- whatever Republican candidate or president seems to be around. And I just wish people would comment on what principles they apply when. Thanks.
Thank you, Chuck.
I think I've been talking about principles quite a bit. I think we need to stand up to dangers against this country, which is why we stood up to Iraq, why we stood up to the Taliban,
exactly,
and so on. That's a principle, and I think I'm proud to do so.
Right, and the only time you apply principles is when you're defending the president.
If the president were wrong, I would say so. But he is absolutely right to do what he's doing to liberate Iraq and to protect us from terror. In my opinion.
And where are your principles with Mr. Novak?
Mr. Novak is a reporter, and people give him information, and he reports it.
Mr. Novak is an American,
isn't
he?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, does one go and out agents and put people's lives in danger? Where's the principle there?
Well, he did not believe this person was undercover, so I'm not excusing the person who did the leaking.
Give me a break. He said he didn't believe that they didn't think they made a big enough case that the person was undercover.
He
didn't know that? Give us a break. Come on.
I've said that if this person was undercover, then whoever leaked it should be prosecuted. Said that on this show. I said it about a half hour ago.
Chuck, you don't think the person was undercover? Can you tell me now you don't think the person was undercover?
I can tell you right now that I'm not sure.
Give me a break. You can obfuscate as much as you want, but the facts are out there for everybody.
Well, you clearly know more than all the law enforcement agencies in the United States, and the president, and the media.
No, not open the papers, which declare the person is undercover.
Don't put the media and the president together.
Can anyone on this panel say for certainty that
you
she
don't
is
want to
undercover?
Ask that question, Jerry.
Any of you? Go ahead.
You don't want to ask that question.
Jerry, I wonder why.
Chuck, thank you very much.
I'm going to hang up now. Thanks.
Okay, buddy.
Why would the Justice Department be undertaking the investigation if they knew she wasn't undercover? They're going to find out if she was undercover. It seems like one simple phone call could probably
figure that out. Ladies and gentlemen, we had a good roundtable today. I tell you, folks are into this thing, and I don't blame them because it's your taxpaying dollars. But before we go, let's talk about the local taxpaying dollars. The embattled Mayor Anthony Williams, problems galore, wants to run the school system that is stamped by his own mark of problems. The revolving turning door of government officials that get big salaries on his staff. Crime is high in the city, police are out of control, and the neighborhood services just don't exist.
But Bob will fix it.
Oh, Bobby Bob. It's a new bird on. That's
Robert
the city Bob.
That's the city. He was the city administrator from Richmond. Yeah, but he brought crime down there. He also did the same in Oakland.
Excuse me, he was kicked out of Oakland. He was kicked out of Oakland by Jerry Brown. Is that his name, Jerry Brown?
Yes. Yeah.
The mayor kicked him out because he wanted a stadium, and Jerry Brown said, I'm saving taxpayers' money. Sounds like Tony Williams to me. What about Anthony Williams? You got 1 minute. Yes or no? Thank you very much. Eric?
It's a tough question. He's in a difficult position.
Is he a good mayor or not? Let me turn to my colleague here who covers Hollywood Capital. Very quickly.
Hollywood Capital, native Washingtonian, too. I think it is a very difficult job. I'd like to see somebody more up to the challenge.
Got to go out. Sorry, Jim. You got your word. Anyway, thank you those who put it together this morning. Certainly, I want to thank my panelists, all of them here. Just write talkdc@aol.com. We'll pass the words on to them. Steve Solomon is our technical producer. Daisha Clickley is our administrator. Quentin Jackson, our public affairs assistant. Written and produced by yours truly, Jerry Phillips. Metro Talk is WBIG, WTEM. Sports Talk 980 public affairs presentation from good old Clear Channel Radio in Washington, D.C. Till next time, my friend, enjoy this week of sunshine. Much peace, much love.